saw her get up back there and go out that door, and I knew she had a letter that came in from Olive Branch, and I just knew something was in the letter that she wanted to tell me. So I got up, and I met her out there, and what it was, while we were over in Olive Branch, there was a man there that had a lot of money. In fact, I think he was a number one stockholder there in the bank. He had more money maybe than anybody else in that bank. Second it was, if anything. And, you know, when people get money, the Bible said the rich answereth haughty, but the poor useth entreaty. So, he was kind of haughty in his speech, and there was, you know, when God gets ready to bring judgment, you always just watch, and some little old poor holiness preacher that they like Peter, gold and silver have I none. He'll drop by just about time God's going to knock at your door. So you always watch that. When you see one of them fellas coming by, you know trouble's coming your way unless you're lined up right. So you always watch that. This man had a good many houses to rent, and there was a homeless preacher or two that got in need of a house. It just so happens they dropped by and asked him about renting one, and of course there was some smart remarks made, you know, about the preacher. When you got plenty of money, you know, we're just the trash. Paul said we're made the offscouring of the earth. So we're just the trash. Brother Branham said one time, said, I found that they call trash to be the cream of the crop. But anyway, we're just the trash in their sight. So the holiness preacher, too, went by to get a house from him. And he made some pretty bad remarks about him. And I said, well, Betty, I said, I guess God just ready to bring judgment on him. So we got a letter from Brother Frank and Brother Frank Taylor. And he said that the man had just suddenly had a heart attack and went out to meet God. So then the money didn't make any difference. When the little homeless preacher came by, it was time for him to go home, and he just didn't recognize the visitation of the Lord. Jesus stood one time upon the mountain and stretched out his hands and cried and said, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth her brood, and ye would not. He said, you don't know the time of your visitation. He said, if you'd just known, he said, but now your houses will be left desolate. That's this house right here. Your physical temple will be left without the Holy Spirit because you didn't know the time of your visitation. He said, your houses will be left desolate because you didn't know. So I hope that we can recognize the time of our visitation. Brother Henry was just telling us tonight about the great angel sounding in this last day. And of course, some of us don't see everything alike. The Bible said someday we will. Someday the Bible said that Zion will come together and they'll see eye to eye and they'll speak the same thing and all those kind of things. We come into the unity of the faith and the fullness of the stature. We're all just children now. Some of us grow a little bit more than the others. Maybe I'm kind of dull of hearing, slow of growing. But anyway, we grow up in the Lord Jesus, and some gets older and some are younger. And we don't talk alike and we don't see just alike, but we still got the same spirit, Brother Henry. We still belong to the God family and we're called by His name. And as we grow, we finally come to see what the other one sees. And I was just thinking tonight, the Bible said in the sounding of the last trumpet, that when this great angel begins to sound, that the mysteries of God should be finished. Now, my concept of that is that when he begins to sound, as you've heard me say, that he is a milestone, or God doesn't do anything out of season. And since there was three messiahs to sound, that he was the last one. And that the law could not be given till Moses started sounding in his day as a messiah. And then grace could not be given till Jesus started sounding in his day. And then the last revelation of the finishing of the mysteries of God could not be unfolded till Brother Branham started sounding. Now it's my conviction that when he began to sound, it was just the age when if any man lack wisdom, let him come to God who giveth to all men freely and upbraideth none. It was just that hour when anybody could get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of the brethren don't agree with that, but you know, if you tell a man that's got revelation that he can't get revelation, that's like telling a man that's got money in the bank that he ain't got no money. So see, you could never tell me that because I've got, as Paul said, much revelation. So he could never tell me that God doesn't give to everybody. But I believe this, that Brother Branham was a vindicator of this age and he was the anointed prophet of this age. He was not the Messiah, but he was a Messiah. In other words, he was not the Messiah because the Messiah is the head of the body. But a Messiah is a member of the body. And we're all members, so we're all Messiahs in that sense. We are Jesus Christ collectively speaking. Jesus was Jesus Christ individually speaking. And he had not the Spirit by measure, but all of God was in him. But we have Spirit by measure, and it takes all of us together to make the fullness of the measure of Christ Jesus. So, anyway, what I'm trying to say tonight is that Brother Branham began to sound, and from the time that he began to sound, then this mystery was open to the church world. Paul said, now it's made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's never been known unto other generations. And so he was the milestone that came in, and he was the vindicator of the age, that if you got a revelation and if it didn't flash on the Urim Thummim of the age, then you just had the wrong revelation. If you had a message and if it didn't flash on God's vindication, then you just had the wrong message, that's all. And so we're glad for Brother William Branham. We thank God for him. But I think of Brother Branham like this a lot of times. You know, we got what we call wholesalers in the world, and they get everything in a big order like. In other words, the Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and I believe Brother Branham was more than a prophet, because I believe as John, he was a forerunner of Jesus. And he was a son of God that was manifested almost to the fullest extent, except for the chains. And that's one thing we're going to have on him if we live to see the coming of the Lord. We are going to be manifested as sons of God, not almost, but all the way. Praise the Lord. He wanted to see it. He tried to see it. His job in the world did not allow him to see it. But anyway, I think of him as a wholesaler, because the Bible said the word of God came unto the prophets. That means that if a man is a prophet, he gets revelation. Spiritual revelation comes to him, and he, in other words, it's not a written word, but it's a spiritual word. The holy word is just, it just comes around, and it's just revealed to him. He just knows it. He doesn't know why he knows it, but he knows it, Brother Henry. So then it comes to him, spiritual revelation, like it did the men that wrote this Bible. They were inspired, and they knew it, and they wrote it. And God told John, said, John, what you see, write it and put it in the book. We got a lot of men doing that now. Got a number of prophets that's still in the church. Brother Branham was more than a prophet. He was a Messiah, and he was a forerunner of the Messiah, having the sign of the Messiah in his life, showing that he was a Messiah. And he also had that pillar of fire that you see over his head that led the children of Israel through the wilderness, to show that we are the spiritual children and going through the same experience and types and shadows. Not only that, but the angel of Revelation that had the rainbow over his head, you see it right there, over his head. And I've heard him a lot of times that he spoke of the beautiful colors. He said, I just wish you could see how beautiful it really is. But anyway, as a wholesaler, he came as a wholesaler, and he gave it to the fivefold ministry, which is the retailers, and it's up to them to break it down and give it to the purchasers as they're able to buy it. So then we've got the message. God has set the milestone, and now the message is given to the world, and now the ministry of Jesus Christ is here, and they're ready to break it down to you. But if you've got this great message, it's no good unless you utilize it. Now then, Jesus was able to translate his body and appear in glory anytime he got ready. Brother Branham reached the place to where he could live in this world and that world. Paul reached the place to where he could live in this world and said he caught up to the third heavens. John reached the same place. He reached the place to where he'd be in the Spirit on the Lord's day and just go up into heaven. We're getting close. We're getting closer and closer to it. I said the other night, to show you that God made Brother William Branham a proper child of the age like Moses was, there was a light over his head when he was first born. Brother Branham would have been a murderer. I made the statement the other night. He was not a good man like you think he was. Now, he was a good man in Christ, but there's none good but God. All flesh is sin, comes short of the glory of God, and none of us is anything except in Christ Jesus. But Brother Branham would have been a murderer. He would have been a drunkard. He would have been everything just about you could mention, because he tried to do every bit of it, but God stopped him. Because God had to keep that little angel of his spirit, on the inside. You remember hearing me say this sometime, that when Jesus took the little child and he set the child on his knee there, and he told him, said, forbid him not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he said, I say unto you that their angel, which is their spirit, has never entered into the knowledge of the world to be accountable for their sins, therefore they're still in heaven. Their spirit is still in heaven. So then, Brother Branham, being born the proper child, his little spirit or angel was guarded that it might never enter into sin. God kept it that he might have a proper child and be unhindered, so the faith would be without condemnation. Brother Branham could stand up and make the statement, I've never been defiled by women. He could make the statement, there was no condemnation, Brother Henry, to hinder that faith. And faith, now they spoke of faith here tonight, there is but one faith, and that is the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach on that one night. I love to preach on that sermon. It's the faith of Jesus Christ, which was once delivered unto the saints. And there's no salvation except that one, the faith. So then when you come to the place that the brother did, it's no longer human faith, but it's God faith, or the faith of Jesus Christ. It's no longer faith that comes from your thinking, it's faith that comes from His Word, because you have taken on the mind of Jesus Christ, and it becomes faith that can open the blind eyes, unstop the deaf ears, change the blood genes, speak a world into existence, or speak a world out of existence. So then we see that God gave the proper child in our age, for which we're very grateful. I'm very thankful for it. Was said that if God had not left us a seed, then we'd been like Sodom and Gomorrah. But I'm thankful that God did leave us a seed. But what I'm trying to say is that I heard a man not too long ago, I don't know if you've run into this or not, but he said, well, it's all over. I said, it is. He said, yes, sir, it's all over. I said, what do you mean it's all over? He said, everything's done. Ain't nothing to do but just wait. But the Bible said, occupy till I come. And blessed is the servant that I find so doing, feeding my sheep. I'll make him ruler over all I got. Brother, it's not all over in that sense. It's all over in our spirit. We've been perfected, glorified, justified, and we're ready to go up. But it's our job to make this inward man or son of God manifest in these blood genes. Now then, if you sit back and do not utilize what God has placed within your body, you'll be sitting right here when the others apply what they've got and translate these blood genes, and they'll go off and leave you sitting right here. You've got something that you've got to do, and you might as well to get up and be about your father's business. You might as well get started. That feller, because the reason he said that was because he was half backslid to start with, and I suppose by now if he ain't straightened up, Brother Henry's done slid back the rest of the way. Now, what it was, he had just gotten into a business. God had given him a business, and he'd gotten into a business and got his mind on money, and because he began to get a little money, he got his mind off of the things of God and just decided, well, I guess I can't go to heaven if I keep doing this, and I can't turn loose this because my heart is over here, so I just try to hold on to God with one hand, hold on with this and the other. And so he decided there wasn't nothing else left to do for God because he was too busy over here, had so much to do over here, making money that he didn't have time to do that, so he just figured he'd done finished all that. Now, people like that are in bad shape. I heard another man not too long ago say, well, the prophet sounded all the mysteries of God finished. Ain't nothing else. That's all he's doing. And he speaks in such a way he don't give you a chance to say nothing else. But I'll tell you right now, the Bible doesn't teach that. That is not the Word of God. We have a job to do, and that's to come into the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And we've got to keep going until we do it. And we've got to occupy until He comes. Amen. These sons of God have to be made manifest in this outer man. And that is a doctrine of the devil. And don't you pay any attention to it, because it will cause you to do one thing. And that's just lay down the sword, lay down the shield, lay down the efforts right here when you need to be about your Father's business, and you'll go to sleep right here when the Catholic Church is beginning to move in, when all this dark's coming. I made this statement. Now, God told me Brother Branham was going to die. And I told Brother J.T. Parnell in Florida, I made the statement here that he was going to die, that God was going to take the man. I told him while I was down there at his tabernacle, and when the man had the wreck, I said he'll die just before Christmas Day, and I said he'll spend about 3 years in the desert, come out about 1966, just before the turn of the year, perhaps, around Christmas time, and his ministry will be finished. It happened just as accurately the way the Holy Spirit showed it. Now then, if the Holy Spirit showed that right, then the rest of it must be right. Praise the Lord. You say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that before Jesus, when he walked with his apostles, before the Lord Jesus could ever be glorified in his apostles, he had to leave the apostles. Brother Branham, being a Messiah of this age and walking with the ministry, he was not sent to the church, he was sent to the ministry. Jesus came to the apostles and gave them the bread and said, you feed the multitude with it. Brother, he gave us on a wholesale scale the bread of life, and it's our job to feed the world with it. That is the church, not the world. The world's revival is over. All right, now then, I'm trying to say this one thing, that we have a job to do. We've got to do that job. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I feel this is needful. I've got a revelation tonight I sure want to get over, and I hope you'll give me time to get it over. But let me say these few things here tonight. We are living in the most beautiful, the most exciting age that has ever been known on earth. There's never been another day like this.
Jesus said great men desired to see this day. The prophets spoke of it and they desired to see this day. But we are the generation that's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trump, and the last trump has began to sound in the land. It's begun to sound. What's going to change us? The mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. That's why we've got to do something. When the trump sounded, the mysteries come forth. A lot of people say they got the revelation, Brother Henry, but they haven't got it. They haven't got it. They say they got it, but they haven't got it. Brother Branham come out of one service and he looked at Billy. He said, Billy, did you get the message? Billy said, you sure did, Daddy. He said, no, you didn't. He said, and they didn't get it either. He says, it breaks my heart because I thought it was going to bring rapture and faith to the church. And said, they ain't even got it. Now then, if he didn't bring it, where is it at? It's in the Word of God. Brother Branham wasn't ordained to bring it. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. It's our job to take this Word into our heart, turn it into spirit, that it'll build the faith of Jesus Christ, and that faith will change these mortal bodies of ours. It'll do it. It'll do it. All right. Then I say that we've got something to do. Now you can sit down if you want to, and quit if you want to, and say it's all over if you want to. But I'll tell you, it's not all over. It's just beginning. Our part is just now really beginning. If we've ever had a job to do, it's now. Jesus came and gave that bread to those apostles, and when he gave it to the apostles, then they broke the bread and they gave it to the multitude and they did eat. And it's our job to take this great message that God has released in the land and vindicated to be the truth, and break this thing down and analyze it until we know every little minor detail of it, to where we develop the mind of Jesus Christ with that revelation, and that thing can swallow us up till it's no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. That's what we need to do. That's what we've got to do if we ever make it. I say one more time, I feel to warn you that there are special... A certain brethren in this area, I've already met them, that's saying there's nothing else to do. But don't you listen at it. Whatever you do, don't you listen at that. There's something to do, and God is depending on you to do it. Whatever you do, stay away from that kind of teaching. This is a dangerous hour, and it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. There's much to be done. In fact, if I talk here tonight, if God allows me to, I'm going to say some things right here tonight. If God allows me to say them that you've never heard, and you've never got them unless God gave them to you by spiritual revelation, and the prophet never preached them, or if he did, I've never heard it on tape. Now then, what does that mean, Brother Pike? That the mysteries of God are being finished in the world right now. I stayed with God for maybe 2 or 3 hours today, and revelation continually flowed through. What is it? It's the finishing of the mysteries of God. It's given to the church. It's not given to one individual. It's given to the church collectively speaking, that it might make them perfect in God. We know in part, but it's coming to a fullness. Now then, you say, I don't believe it. I'm going to say one more time. You go out here and tell a man that he ain't got no money when he's got both pockets full, and when he pulls the money out and shows it to you, you're going to look like a fool because he had money in both pockets. Don't tell anybody they haven't got revelation when they know they got revelation. When the Holy Spirit says they got revelation, when everywhere they preach, the people say, I've never heard anything like it. It's revelation. And it rings 100% true with the Bible, 100% true with what the prophet preached, and it's spiritual revelation. Not only I have received it, but I've met others that have received it too. So then, it, as I said, there are still prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that are in the church right now doing a work. Brother Branham was a prophet, but there's more prophets. There's more prophets in the land today, not messiahs, but prophets in the land today, and the Word of God still comes to them, and it will till Jesus comes. All right, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me over to the book of John. Now, I know I'm hitting a hard streak here to start with. I'm aware of it. I know what's going on. But the thing is, this is what God wants to be done, and that's what's got to be done. Here in the 5th chapter of 1 John, I want you to listen. Now, we've had, how many services have we had? We've had at least 3 or 4 since I've been here. Not one time has there been rebellion in our midst. God has wonderfully moved away the rebellion, and the people have been very receptive, and not one service have we had trouble. Even some of the people, Brother Freeman, that I had trouble out of last time didn't give me no trouble this time. One of the reasons is because God processed some of them and turned the heat loose on them. And they learned they couldn't do that and get by with it. Just like that fellow that had the heart attack. But the thing is, we are here to try to deliver our soul and to bring into spiritual revelation and not to exalt any personality. But just like Brother Branham, the reason God suffered that man to be smitten in a wreck was because every Messiah that he's ever used, when God finished with him, he smote him to show it was not the flesh but the anointing within his life. And that's what he done to Moses. That's what he done to Jesus. Said we esteem him smitten of God. And that's what he done to Brother Branham. And making you and I a Messiah collectively speaking to come to the head, which is Jesus Christ, that's what he's doing to you and I. He'll smite this old flesh every time. It's a road to the cross. So then, I want to say this before Reed, he comes back to me again. In the area around here within a few miles, there is an individual that thinks that God has ordained him to put up a certain place and God is going to make it the leading place of the era, but he's wrong. He's mistaken. So don't pay any attention to it. He's wrong. He's mistaken. And it can be misleading. No accusations. I'm just telling you he's wrong. You remember what I tell you. Now then, let's stay with God's word. If the prophet was here tonight, it would be the same as Brother Henry when he stood here. In other words, the anointing that was in Brother Henry was the same one that was in the prophet, the same one that was in Elijah, the same one that was in Moses, for the Bible said there's but one spirit and many operations. It's the same God that's in you tonight. So then let's talk about Jesus tonight. I've been hoarse for a night or two and a little bit hoarse tonight, but I want to try to get into a little deep water tonight. And it is deep, but if you'll listen, we can go right through it. If you don't, it'll just be spasmodic. It'll be a little bit here and a little bit there, and it'll be confusing. But before I try to bring these messages, sometimes I spend hours and hours and hours talking with God to get every little detail lined up, knowing that I can't give it to you in every little detail. But I try to highlight it in the major places to where you can piece it together without any trouble, to where it won't be confusing to you. So then, tonight, bear with me and let's see if we can hit that channel tonight that I had on my heart. Reading from 1 John chapter 5. Let's start right here in the third verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. A lot of people say they love God now, and he won't do what he tells them, but the Bible said there's only one love of God, and that's when you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, the thought tonight that I'd love to dwell on for just a few minutes is the water, the blood, and the Spirit. What did John mean when he said there's three in heaven and three in the earth? Let's take the three that he spoke of in the earth and ask God tonight to help us to understand, as I've done so many times, if any man lack wisdom, let him go to God, who giveth to all men without respect of person, to anybody that will pray, anybody that will ask, anybody that will seek God, that he giveth to all men without any respect of person, and he doesn't upbraid those that come to him. That is, if they come in the right spirit. So then let's ask God tonight to help us to be able to see just what John meant when he spoke of the three that bear witness in the earth. First of all, we look way back yonder, the days of Noah, and we remember, as I preached here the other night, about spiritual inspiration and how that inspiration comes into the heart and what inspiration is and why the devil comes into your heart and his plans. So then if we look back there to the antediluvian time, then we find in that day there had been no water. But the thing is that God gave a witness of himself in that hour by turning the heavens loose and letting the waters come down from out of heaven upon the earth and water the earth, giving the earth the first witness. John said, there is three witnesses. There was a water witness because it was a water world. Now, you might say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, a water world? God has created, the Bible speaks of worlds in the plural. There is a water world. There is a physical world, which is flesh, a blood world. And there is a spiritual world, which is angel world. In other words, the water world, Brother Henry, it's the life of vegetation and plants. Everything in the vegetation realm lives off of water. It's a world within itself. It doesn't require anything but water, and it was typified in the first 4,000 years. We have an account from the time of Adam all the way to the time of Jesus of a water world. Now, this is a fascinating thing that the Holy Spirit said to me one day. Did you know that during the time when God dealt in the water world, that he just worked miracles mostly concerning the earth or the heavens or something that pertained to the water world? How many of you know that? He opened up the Red Sea. He opened up the River Jordan. He made the sun to stand still. How many of you know that I'm telling the truth? It was always miracles that was not in the physical or spiritual realm, but it was in the water world, in the natural realm, because God always works in types and shadows, and it was a natural miracle that God was doing. So then, for a long time, it went that way until about 4,000 years expired. Then when the cross came in, did you notice how the miracles changed? Jesus didn't deal with the rivers. He didn't deal with the sun. But he dealt with the physical world. He dealt with flesh and blood. His miracles turned from miracles working with the natural water world, and he began to work with the physical blood world because the second witness had come in. The first witness was water. And God worked and proved himself that he was a miracle-working God, that he was the master of all life of vegetation, all plant life, or all earthly life, as far as the elements of the earth. But when Jesus came along, then came the second witness, which was the blood witness. Jesus hung on the cross, and just as in the water world, the water covered the earth, and God completely baptized the earth with water. Just the same way Jesus hung on the cross, and he covered the entire world with the blood of Jesus Christ. He showed that he was not only God of the water world, Brother Henry, but he was God of the blood world. And so it was that the blood of Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of all the world. He took away the sins of the drunkard. He took away the sins of the harlot. And every creature on the face of this earth, God mercifully, gracefully took away his sins and gave him a new lease on life. Have you ever tried to compare the cross experience with Noah? It's perfect. It's perfect. Sometimes when you get into spiritual revelation, I can't go into it tonight because I want to get over my subject kind of lined up. I can't go into all the particulars of it, but sometimes compare the ark with the body of Jesus. Make a comparison with the spirit that came from Jesus and compare it with the dove. And make a comparison with the spirit of Satan and compare it with that raven that went out of the ark. And make a comparison with the water that covered the world and compare it with God's Holy Spirit that was poured out upon all the earth when he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And look and see that just as a new world came in when the water came down, that world was destroyed with water. But there came a new world in that had been cleansed by water. And just the same way, when God poured out his spirit upon all flesh, there came a new physical world in. He said, behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. It's a new world. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. There's a new person in this earth today, and that person is called the sons of God. It's the sons of God, a new world that's in the earth today. Then we see that after the blood witness came, there was another witness. And that witness was not the blood witness, but John said, water, blood, and spirit. I want you to get a thought here tonight. Did you know that where you find blood, blood represents fire in spiritual revelation and allegories? How many know that? That where there's blood, there's fire. So these three witnesses represent three baptisms. Paul spoke of the doctrine of baptisms. To go on to learn about them. Here is something that you can see if you've got a spiritual eye tonight. That water, blood, and spirit is water, fire, and spirit. Because though Jesus' blood, it came to take away the sins of Christians or those that was foreordained of God, yet it also came as the judgment of God to burn the chance that everyone that's guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ will stand in the judgment and pay for it in that day. That's why the Jews suffered like he did, because he said, let his blood be upon us. And in other words, let the indignation of God fall on us. The Jews would not have been guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, but it was the ordination of God. The Jews did not kill Jesus Christ. They said it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. But the Roman powers killed the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to see history repeat itself, for we as the body of Christ, just as soon as that church overstates a thing comes in, they're going to deliver us up to the council and say we're heretics because we won't join the National Council of Churches, and the Roman powers is going to kill us as spiritual people and stop our form of worship altogether. It's coming to pass again. You say, Brother Pike, I'm not going to transgress any of their political powers. I'm not going to transgress any of their laws. Daniel didn't either. The Hebrew children didn't either. But they kept watching those praying people until one day they say, we've got to pass a law to where there'll automatically be transgressors. Brother Henry, when they put church over state and tell me that I've got to join the National Council of Churches and start slipping out the number 666, I'm automatically going to come against that order and against the laws of this land if it costs me my head by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now then, Daniel didn't do anything to transgress the laws. They made laws to where he couldn't do nothing else but transgress them if he lived for God. And they're going to do the same way in our Constitution. So then the third witness came along. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came back like a mighty rushing wind to give us the third witness in the earth. God said, I'm not only God of the water world. I not only can work miracles in the natural earth, but I am God of the blood world, and I can work miracles in the physical earth. And certainly Jesus and the apostles did it. Not only did they do it, but for the last few years, we've had men walking the earth that has dealt with the physical being, and there's been miracle after miracle, but it's at an end now. It's come to the third. The first was water world, the Father's world. That was the first world. It was the water world, and it was the world of law. But then came the second world, which was the world of grace, or the dispensation of grace. And God let the Son prove that He was God over all humanity. God the Father proved that He was God over all creation. And the Son proved that He was God over all flesh. And then the third witness come, which was the third part of the triune God. One God, three operations. Then He came the third time. And this time He proved that He was God over all human spirits. And when Paul speaks of Him, he said He is the Father of spirits. So then He's God. In every place we find Him, He is God. So then the third witness came in, which was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just as the water covered all the natural world, the blood covered all the physical world, then came the Holy Spirit, and the Bible said He poured it out upon all flesh. It covered all the spiritual angelic world. Now, then John said there's three that bear witness in the earth. Jesus worked miracles in the physical. Back there in the first part, He worked them in the natural. But did you know that in this day, the men with the big tents are beginning to fold up their tents? I saw one not too long ago. He stood and looked at his tent. I'd explain to him some of the things that we're talking about. He said, Brother Pike, I know that that's true. He said, something makes me to know that's true. He said, I can't find a place to set foot in. He said, nobody seems to want my ministry anymore. He said, there's something that's changing. There's something that's taking place. What is it? God is about to quit dealing with physical beings and working miracles in the physical, because the third dispensation is coming in, which is not a blood nor a water, but a spiritual. And God is going to work miracles in the spirit. He's going to deal with the human spirit. It's going to be revelation such as you've never seen in your life. And it's going to be miracle after miracle in that inner man. The miracles of revelation is going to be so great that it's going to cause that inner Son of God to grow brighter and stronger and more powerful until he pushes his way into this outer body, and the whole world will see that he's the Son of God. And Daniel said, just one of them alone, it won't take two, but he said, just one of them will outshine the noonday sun. The sun will be darkness when it's compared with God's great light in that Son of God. In other words, in this age, God is beginning to deal with the spiritual man. He's worked his natural wonders. He's worked his physical wonders. But he decides to work his spiritual wonders and show that he is God of the angel world as well as of the natural and of the physical world. The third witness, John said. He spoke of these as being baptisms. Here, we see that three witnesses came. Three dispensations. Moses, the Messiah of the law. Jesus, the Messiah of grace. And you remember how that Elijah appeared in glory with Jesus? Then Brother Branham, having the spirit of Elijah, he came along and he was the Messiah of the age of righteousness. And the Bible said, in righteousness, God doth judge the earth. When the dispensation of righteousness comes in, and it's overlapping grace, just like grace overlapped law, it's coming in this hour, and God is going to judge the earth, because everyone that doth not have the nature of Jesus Christ through new birth, he cannot live right. No matter how he tries, it's not considered righteousness in the sight of God. And if a man has the nature of Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times he stumbles, he's still a son of God. There's no trespass counted against him, because he is born of God and he cannot sin. Remember, we brought it out last night. Now then, remember this, that those three witnesses tell us that there is a God of all creation. Now then, notice that the water world, who does the water world belong to? There's three people in the earth. There's the Jew, there's the Gentile, and there is the elect or the Christian. I love to class them in three religions, because there is the Jew, which is a religion. Now a lot of folks say, well, it's a nation, but did you know that they're not recognized as a nation? I had a Jew to tell me in California, Brother Henry, said there's no such thing as a Jew nation. Said America will not accept a Jew as being a nation. It's a religion. So then there's a Jewish religion. That's one sect of people in the earth. And then there is a Catholic religion, which is another sect of people in the earth. And there is a Protestant religion, which we call the Christian religion. So then, there is Protestant, there is Catholic, and there is Jew. For God to use his types and shadows, he lines them up like that. I know we got a lot of corrupt Catholics, a lot of corrupt Protestants, a lot of corrupt Jews, but out of all of them, God's going to have an elect. But he lines them up, Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. And did you know that God works so marvelous, so wonderful, that it has scares me to death sometimes? I told my wife tonight, I said, since I've been serving God, I said, I've found him to be so perfect and so precision, and things that happen in my life and happen in others' life that I did not understand, when God showed them in spiritual revelation, they was just as perfect as every hair that he planted in your head is. It's amazing. I don't see how I could do it. I don't understand it, but it's so anyhow. I made the statement last night, why did God make the Smoky Mountains? God put the smoky. Somebody said it just got there. Brother, I already know why the Smoky Mountain was planted there and why they call the Smoky Mountains by spiritual revelation. There's a gift in the church called the gift of wisdom, and the Bible said it findeth out witty inventions. There is nothing hid from, and if it's allowed to work within the heart, it will unravel every mystery that you lay out there before it. It's in the church, and we have access to it if we want to use it. Why was the smokies placed there? Why was ash go placed on the other side of the smoke? Why was hickory just beyond the ashes? Tell me, why did God line it up just like that? Why is there a place called Hendersonville with a snake trail? If I've ever seen a snake trail in my life, Brother Henry, that's a snake trail. When you come from the bottom of that hill or that mountain, come up here, it's more like a snake than anything I ever seen in all my travels. But why is it in this hour that God is sticking the straight mouth, the crooked trail, and put a highway across these mountains right at the south? Tell me why that. Why is that great bridge standing down yonder? That's called the bridge over Green River down there. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. Why did I sit out at Brother Bobby's today and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that lady over there wants to buy you a pair of shoes? I come and asked my wife. I said, did that lady give you the money to buy me a pair of shoes? I said, the Holy Spirit said she wanted to buy me some slippers. Yeah, he said, yes. Betty didn't want to tell me, but she told me that she did. Then I said, Betty, after they went to town and they tried to get them, she said, we're going to get them some other place. And I perceived that she meant Asheville according to the conversation. And while I was in spiritual revelation, I said, they've got to come from that direction. Why? Why? It's the Holy Spirit working. Oh, brother, I tell you, this is the most... I never seen anything in my life like venturing out into the mind of Jesus Christ. You talking about being excited. I'm just about to overflow with this thing. Somebody said it's finished. I tell you what, if it's finished, I don't know what in the world's happened to me. Brother, if all of this is finished, I don't know what's happened to me. Because it's sweeter, riper, and better for the picking than it's ever been, Brother Henry, since I know about it. Praise the Lord. Did you know? Let me tell you something, children of God. Did you know that I'm not searching out my life? I'm not searching out anybody's life. I'm not trying to meddle in anybody's life. But did you know that the Holy Spirit showed me the trail that I've traveled ever since I built a little home over in a place called Salem? And He showed me every step, showed me the people I met, showed me who they were and what they meant in life to my ministry and what my ministry meant to God and what it stood for. I saw Brother Henry in Revelation. I've already seen Brother Albert in Revelation. I've already seen Brother Bobby in Revelation. I've already seen Brother Charles Johnson in Revelation. I know who they are, what they are, and where they're going. Why? Because the Holy Spirit made it known it's the hour for something wonderful to take place. And the mind of Jesus Christ knows all things. There's nothing hid, Brother Henry, from the mind of Jesus Christ. You heard me say the other night that Brother Frank Taylor kept saying, find me in Revelation, find me in Revelation, because he'd heard me talk about things. I said, okay. I said, if God will permit me to do it, I'll find in Revelation. I said, but whatever he says, that's what it's got to be. So I found in Revelation, I said, your mother's going to die around the first of the year. Now, well, some lady made a smart remark about it, but just about the first of the year from Danville, Illinois, a woman who God knows I'd never seen in my life, that woman died. She had a heart attack the same night I was dreaming of her. Brother Frank had to go there, and he'd just come back just a few weeks ago or so from his mother's funeral. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit that shows everything to those that walk upright before God. And it's not by anything that we merit, but it's by the grace of God. God loves us and it's for us. And I want it. I want it. Praise the Lord. That's just one of the very few things. Now then, I say that they're over there for a purpose. I say that the Indian Reservation, the Cherokee Indian Reservation, it's there. For a purpose. If you know what Indians meant in Revelation, if you knew what colors meant in Revelation, if you understood those things, then you know why the Indians is over around the Smokies. So then, notice here, John said there is three that bear witness. There's three, and we have come to the last dispensation, which is the dispensation of righteousness. Grace does not apply to any person until they have done everything within their power to live right, and when they've done all that they can to stand, then when they stumble, grace comes in. But if they never make any special effort, they have no grace except the grace that's given to the world for just an allotted span of time until the righteous dispensation comes in, so that God can work his wonders in the earth. But if you've got God's grace, it's from now on. Now notice this. The Jews belong to the water world. Let's see if we can get this straight in our mind tonight. The Jews belong to the water world. The Gentiles belongs to the blood world. But the Christian belongs to the spirit world. God deals with the Jews in fours. He deals with the Gentiles in twos. And he deals with the Christian in ones. It was 4,000 years from Adam to the cross. And God dealt in the water world with the Jew. Then God turned, and there was 2,000 years almost expired, according to my understanding, to be expired around 1970. According to the comparison that I made to the Jewish calendar, I see 30 years variation there. And when 1970 rolls around, it will be exactly the end of the 2,000 years. Now, I know I've heard something about the prophet having something different on it. And I know what he's got is right because he usually gets everything right. But this is what I got according to what God showed me. And by 1970, that time will roll around according to what I've seen. So then there's 2,000 years from the cross until that time when God has brought to pass the 6,000 years or the 6 days in which he labored to bring in his Sabbath or his millennium. So then, with those 2,000 years, God dealing with the blood world or with the Gentiles, he dealt with them 2,000 long years almost. He's dealt with them like children. And he's let the blood work or the Gentiles see his glory to the extent that he's worked among them. How many of you know that that's the blood world? From the cross on up to now, we've had nothing but blood. It's been one bloody war right after another. The dark age was nothing but blood, blood, blood. From the time Jesus was crucified, the martyrs began to die. And it's been one war, Alexander the Great, right on down. History shows there was nothing but blood through the whole time, right on up to now. And we got boys over yonder right now on the front lines losing their lives. It's still blood. This is the blood age. So then God deals with them in twos. He deals with the Jews in four. 4,000 years, 40 years in the wilderness, and so on. But he deals with the Gentiles in twos. They've got to have two cars. Don't want but two children, a boy and a girl, and two homes. They want one over somewhere in a vacation land and somewhere. They want another where their job is. But God deals with the elect in this last 1,000 years that's coming up. He deals with them in ones in this last 1,000 years that's coming up. It's going to be their hour. The Gentiles has had theirs. The blood world has been seen. And they've done what they're going to do, Brother Henry. And the Jews, 4,000 years, they've done what they were going to do. But God is fixing to bring in a millennium, 1,000 years reign, and he's going to just fill that earth with nothing but spirit, and only the righteous dispensation will be allowed to be there. Long came the 4,000 years, and then John came. The grace came the 2,000 years, and then Brother Branham came. And now the 1,000 years millennium are that righteousness which is for the righteous dispensation is overlapping just before the millennium come in, just like grace overlapped law. Just before its fullness came in, Brother Branham marked it, it's overlapping, and in a little while only the righteous will be allowed to live in that world. You can't just be under grace and live in that world. That is a righteous world. This is a world of grace here. But everybody that didn't take advantage of that grace and make their hearts right with God won't be able to live in that world. That's the 1,000 years millennium. God deals with his spiritual angelic beings or angelic world with one. One God, one faith, one baptism, and 1,000 years millennium reign. And so it is that we've come to the hour. Now then, let's just take another look just to see how close the resurrection really is. The Jews have a baptism, and the baptism is water. They believed in water for this and water for that. Wash this and the washing of pots and pans. So much Brother Henry that Jesus had to rebuke him when he came in this world. Because they thought you could cleanse everything by water. And the reason is because in each one of those worlds, you can break it down in body, soul, and spirit. Or natural, physical, and spiritual. Just like I took an all over thing and broke it down in 4,000, 2,000, 1,000 years. Now then, just individually speaking, in the physical world, just to break it down body, soul, and spirit. That physical world that the Son came to, which is body, soul, and spirit, it has three baptisms. It has a cleansing for the body, which is water. That's water baptism. Peter taught it. And then it has a cleansing for the soul. Said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire also. So then there is a cleansing for the soul, which is the fire baptism, which is the blood. Then there is a cleansing for the spirit, which is the Holy Ghost baptism. God wooing the outer world, typified it by the rain, showing he'd been cast out of man's heart. As we brought out here the other night, he's wooed man from the outside, the rain on the just and the unjust, to get back into his temple, to where he could get into the human spirit and set up his kingdom and work from within the human spirit into the soul and from the soul right on into the outer man. Now, I said to you the other night that that middle realm is where the trouble is, and that's why Jesus came to the blood realm. It was the middle realm because Satan is called the red dragon. In Revelation it says he is the red dragon. We see it. And remember, there's a red dragon in the natural, red dragon in the physical, red dragon in the spiritual. In other words, God does everything in threes, and yet it's all just one, see? So then, we speak of the red dragon in the physical. In the physical, what is it? It's the bloodstream. Filled with the spirit of Satan, running down through the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation because death lived in it. And Jesus, as I said the other night at the cross, held his hand up, stopped that bloodstream, and he ended it at Calvary, done away with sin of the flesh, and started a spiritual generation, and said, he that is born of spirit is spirit. What happened? We've got in the natural, we see that same red dragon working in types and shadows, being red communist as it infiltrates the natural earth, working all through the earth, coming along, killing just like Satan did in the physical realm. And of course, we know that in the spiritual realm that it's Satan himself. Now then, the thing that we want to notice is that Eve yonder in the garden, when she and Adam was in the garden, when God first created them, he did not put them down there on a beast level. Blood is beast level. Blood is the beast realm. It's beast level. Jesus called them brute beasts. But he said, sons of God are born to the Spirit, and they are not in that blood level. They are not in that blood realm. And he put them equal with God in the garden. They had fellowship with God. They were in that spiritual realm with God. But there came a time when they turned from the tree of faith, which is called the mind of Jesus Christ, which is called the tree of life, which is the faith of the Lord. They turned from that, and they turned to the natural man. The inner man was all right, but they turned to that outer man, which was a tree of knowledge or reasoning that caused them to start living, as I said the other night, by temporal inspiration and using the five senses to keep this body or this inner man alive with temporal inspiration rather than leaning to faith of the tree of life and getting the eternal inspiration that God's trying to bring us back to right now. As he tries to wean us from the temple like a babe from the bottle to bring us back to the eternal. Now then, Eve and Adam had a place with God, and they were happy with the Lord. But the thing is, they messed around, and Eve lent to her own understanding. And Satan, as I said the other night, he came in that beast, and he began to communicate with her, and he got that old natural reasoning stirred up. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now then, when that natural reasoning was stirred up, then she fell down to the blood realm or the beast level. She fell down to the blood realm or the beast level, and that's all that the devil wanted because he already found a way to enter the bloodstream. Most any doctor will tell you that if he can keep disease out of your blood, you're all right. I don't care how much cancer you got outside, it ain't gonna give you no trouble till it hits the bloodstream. My brother was a sound, healthy boy that was getting along just fine. Had a Bright's disease, Brother Henry. He was still getting along just fine, even with the Bright's disease. But the doctor came to me and he said, the poison from those kidneys is fixing to hit the bloodstream. And said, when they hit the bloodstream, though he's laying there laughing and talking, just as healthy as he can be sitting, going just like that. I couldn't believe that, because my brother was just fine. And he just worked right through that blood, took the spirit into captivity, because the spirit of life lives in the bloodstream. The body without the spirit is dead. Life is in the blood. The Bible said life is in the blood. Scientists say life is in the blood. So then the life is in the bloodstream. That life is right here within our blood. And Satan took that pure, innocent breath of life that God breathed into humanity and took it into captivity and held it by oppression from the outer man until he got complete control of it and made a slave out of mankind. And just as my brother, when that poison hit that bloodstream, he died. And just as quick as Satan hit Adam and Eve's bloodstream, or got into there where he could take that life and touch that life, and died just like that out of the presence of God. Now then, as I said, they stayed in that bloodstream. They stayed in that blood work. And it was handed down to every generation, to all nations, of the one same contaminated blood. Till God made the second man, Adam, put the second bloodstream. And Jesus stood at Calvary, stopped the first corrupt bloodstream. And he started the second by the washing of regeneration. Now then, that we can easily see where man has been and what has been his trouble. What is God trying to do? He's trying to wean us from those temporal inspirations and bring us to the eternal inspiration, to where it can change this body, to where we won't have to feed off of the things that make blood. He don't want us to feed off of the things that make blood. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God don't want me to eat? I don't say that. The Bible said all things are clean to the believer. That's not it. The Bible said in the last days some will command to stand from abstain from me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when we fast before God, you know and I know too, that when we fail to put food into this body and this outer man grows weak, if we've got the spirit on the inside and we pray and release him, he gets stronger in God. You know that. Brother Henry, when he has less resistance from this outer man, then he gets stronger. Paul said there's a continual warfare between this outer man and the inner man. God and his kingdom from the inner man is waging war, and Satan from being the prince of the powers of the air from the outer man is through the medium of the five senses. He's warring against God's kingdom on the inside, and they meet right there in the soul, and that's where the trouble goes on, right there in the soul. That's the warfare. That's the battleground. That's the blood. That's the blood field. Right there is where all the trouble goes on. So then when we weaken the outer man by sacrifice and pray to release the inner man, then we find that we become victorious over the flesh. And our faith overcomes the flesh. Now then, I'm going to try to come to a close a little bit. This is barely touching what I wanted, but anyway, we're getting some of it tonight. Now then, notice this, that the Jews belong to the water world. The Gentiles belong to the blood world, and the elect to the Christian. Typified by the Protestants, they belong to the spirit world. They belong to the spirit world. Now then, the Catholics came out of the Jew. How many of you know that's true? A lot of people don't understand that, but that's true. It was first the Jew, and then the Catholics was raised up. The Jew had 4,000 years at the cross. The next 2,000 set in. It's been a Catholic religion ever since, and it's going to wind up a Catholic religion. When Pentecost got popular, the world took it over and made a Catholic religion out of it. And it's going to be a Catholic religion in the end, because that's 2,000 years. It's ordained to be a Catholic religion to the Gentile of a physical world of the blood realm. So then, we see that the Catholic religion came in. Now, the Catholics came out of the Jew. Now then, in this next dispensation that's setting in right now, to go into the thousand years millennium, it is that spiritual era where Christ will reign on his throne and we will be sons of God before him, and all the world will be able to see it. But the Protestants came out of the Catholic, and the Catholic came out of the Jew, showing body, soul, and spirit, just like you take a telescope and pull one out, then you pull another one out, and you've got three parts to it. It's the Catholic out of the Jew and the Protestants out of the Catholic. And what's going to happen to show you how close we are to the resurrection? Just as quick as the Catholics came out of the Jew died, and there wasn't nothing else to it, because the body died without the soul. And then the Protestants came out of the soul, which was the physical realm of the blood realm, and the Catholics died because the body of the soul is dead without the spirit. So then, we find that when they came out, the great power that had ruled the world died. But notice, now then, the resurrection is at hand. God separated body, soul, spirit, so that he could manifest his triune being and his triune power to show what a great God he was. But, and it mixed everybody up. That didn't really have a revelation because they believed there was three gods. But now the Protestants is going back into the Catholic through the National Council of Churches. And the Catholic is going back to the Jew because Daniel said they'd make a covenant with them. And it's just like pushing the telescope back together, making the three one. That means that God is through. And those same powers that died, when these things go back into them, they'll be resurrected. God separated them to show death, but now the resurrection is at hand, and that's how close it is. Everything's going back. The spirit's going back into the soul. The soul's going back into the body. Notice your religion. Just if you break down your religion, see if that isn't true. That one's going into the other, and the other's going into the other, and so forth and so on. Because God has at last, he's cleansed our spirit, he's cleansed our soul, and he's cleansed our body, and he's ready to change us into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. In other words, I'm saying in just simple words, that the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and in this hour is bringing the Jew and the Catholic and the Protestants all in one to show that God has at last cleansed all parts of the earth and all parts of the body. That we are becoming one again. Three, becoming one. Made in his image, body, soul, and spirit. Three, becoming one. Now then tell me this one thing. Why did God keep the Jew separated from the Catholic? Why did he keep the Protestant separated from the Catholic? God works all things after the counsel of his own will to lay down types and shadows. He wanted to show us the condition that we were in and show us that we could not change these bodies until every part of it was clearly cleansed, thoroughly purged. But now he's through, and he's bringing it all back together in one, showing that the work is finished and the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to resurrect these bodies. Oh, there's a lot more that I could show you on the same order of the triune operation. To show you that right at this hour, they're all going back. And it's time for God to bring about the resurrection. We're right at the resurrection. We're right at it now. So then, remember this. The natural world got a baptism of water. And the spiritual world, that thousand years, millennium, is going to get a baptism of spirit. But this old world that's in between here, we can call it grace if we want to. And certainly it has been grace. But blood means fire, and it's going to get a baptism of fire. Watch and see if it don't happen. God's going to rain fire and brimstone down on this earth, and he's going to thoroughly purge this earth just like he purged the old with water, and just like he's going to purge the new with spirit, he's going to purge this one with fire. Those three baptisms, Paul said, doctrine of baptism, those things are laying right there. Have you ever noticed that in the physical realm that they're always messing with fire? Electricity, everything operates by electricity or something pertaining to fire. Have you ever noticed that in the physical realm, the physicians are always messing with blood? Always blood, 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 all the time blood. But we've come to the end of the age. Stand with me. There's so much more to be said, and yet I think you've listened real good, and maybe I took up a lot of time already. I don't know. But it seems to me like I'm just barely getting started into the revelation. But the thing is, the thought that I want to get over tonight is there is three witnesses in this earth. God has not left himself without witness. He's not left himself, children of God, without witness. But there are three witnesses in this earth. That's the water, the blood, and the spirit. We are at the verge of perfection. Right on the verge of it. Bow your heads for just a few minutes, if you will. Father, tonight as we come to you, here, Lord, having had the kind attention of these people, Father, and having expounded to them as clearly as we could, Lord, hear the things concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Lord, you said we're made stewards, Lord, to those things. And Father, here we have done our very best to do what we could, Lord, in our little way. But Father, we want the saints of God to know, Lord, what you're doing, and to know that you've finished your work, and to know when the end is coming. And Lord, we know that the end is here now. Father, we know that it is upon us. And God, we don't want to guess, but we want to know by spiritual revelation and by confirmation of word and vindication of power. Lord, we want to know that it's here. Father, that it is the end of the world. that this is the end of the world. Father, that we are making preparations to change these bodies and to go home to meet Thee. While your heads are bowed for just a minute, now tonight in this message, I hope after having this on the three witnesses here, I was going to tie in what it takes to translate the body and how it's done. The Holy Spirit has revealed it to this generation. How it's done. I'm trying to make it practical in my life and utilize it. And I'm coming closer and closer. Things is unraveling like I never dreamed of. And the mind of Christ is developing speedily. But Enoch discovered it. Jesus discovered it and so forth. And we're the generation ordained to discover it, that we don't have to go by the grave. But now, I didn't get to bring any of that tonight. It'll just be another message. But I hope that by what we've said tonight, that you can see clearly that if you ever was going to do anything for God, now's the hour. Now's the hour for you to do it. Now you might say, Brother Pike, there's nothing that we can do. Don't be like that. There's a lot you can do. You say, what can we do? Believe with all your heart. How can I believe, Brother Pike? Faith without works is dead. Work with all your might. Love Him with all your strength through works, that you might believe Him with all your heart through faith. Kindle your faith by your efforts. And I promise you, your faith will grow until every condemnation is eliminated if you live and walk in love. Every condemnation will be eliminated, and your faith will change so radically that there won't be any wavering in it, and you'll find it's the faith of Jesus Christ instead of the faith of humanity. You'll find that it's His faith. And when it becomes His faith and not humanity's faith, then that means that it will translate these bodies. And that's what we're trying to do, is perfect faith. But it takes all of our effort, friend, to be able to do that. And through faith will come the release of the Holy Spirit on human to change these blood genes from the kingdom of heaven. We're close, real close. Every part has been purged. The last one's coming up, that's the body. That's the Jew. He's turning back to the water world, which is the body of the Jew now. He's turning back to them. So then that means our redemption is at hand. Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but the resurrection or life from the dead? Praise the Lord. And ask Brother Mark to correct this.